You're listening to SBS News.
Western Sydney schoolboy Yusuf Zahab was taken to Syria with his family to live under IS in 2015. He was swept up into the adult Kurdish prison system and feared dead. In this second part of his interview with SBS Dateline's Colin Cosier in an undisclosed Kurdish-controlled part of northeast Syria, he talks about what happened to him in jail. And you can watch the full story on Dateline at SBS On Demand.
Tell me about the attack on the prison.
It was like one day I was playing, a friend of mine, I was playing with him, and I just hit a huge exploded, yani. And then when that exploded, everyone got scared and confused and started people jumping around and that, and I got really scared, I didn't know what to do. And I don't know how the doors fell open, but the doors fell open, and then big guys came in. Big adult guys came in too.
So you're in the kid area, the youth area?
Yes.
And then men started coming into our area. Like prisoners from the other parts of the prison?
I think so. And then they started to tell everyone to go out. Me and my friend hid somewhere, so we can't go out. We didn't know I was going because I didn't really go out because the shooting was happening outside. And I was really scared. And I remember everyone literally went out, just stayed me and my friend inside, like nearly the last people inside. And then we were sitting, not knowing that everyone went out, jumping around. I don't know what's happening with everyone, crazy. And then one big guy came and saw us, and he said, yell at us. I don't know what he told us in Arabic. And then he told us to get up. You have to go out now. We went out, we looked outside, and he was still yelling at us, so you have to go out. We didn't know what to do. We looked outside, and the guy went. He left us and went. He stayed just me and my friend again. We looked outside the building that we were in, the kid's place was empty. It was just me and him. We looked, it was like, how are we going to do it? And we're going to run, and bullets are everywhere. So I just remember we had to run. You know, we thought we were going to die here, maybe. So we ran. The guy, before he told us, when he was yelling us, he told us, go there. Over there, you find food and water and everything there, and there's other people there. So we went to the other place, when there's other buildings, inside the prison. We're inside the prison still. And went to just another building inside the prison. And then went to another building, saw some English speakers. And the guy saw us, he heard us, he was speaking English, and he was like, where are you from? I said, Australia, and my friend is American. And he said, okay, just sit down in the corner. We're asking what's going on, what's going to happen. He's like, just sit down in the corner, everything's going to go well. Everything's just all right. We sat down in the corner until the last day. And I remember those days, I was scared, so I asked help from my auntie, from my cousin Hala, to ask help from the Australians or from any organization.
You were able to get some voice messages out.
Yes, so I can speak to my auntie, so I can ask for help. I didn't know what was going on, and I thought if I asked for help, some helicopter's gonna come help me out, or some organization's gonna come help me. But nothing happened. Just everything started to get worse and worse in the problem. And I got scared. My auntie, my cousin, told me to calm down and keep my head down, and it's all right, everything's all right. I asked her several times, and then I got injured looking for food because I stayed like 2 or 3 days hungry, didn't eat nothing.
How did you get injured?
And I got injured looking for food. I tried to look for food. Just on the door of the building, I looked for someone that had food. I was asking people, no one's giving food. You get what I mean? And then the helicopter hit. I don't know what kind of hit it was. I don't know what it was, but then just got injured. And I thought I was going to die. It was a very scary day. I started like shocking, pushing, because blood started to rush on my face and that. So, like, trying to see a doctor, see my friends. I got confused. I didn't know what to do.
Tell me about your injuries. What happened to you?
Yeah, I got injured in the head and here. Then a guy with bandages, he saw me and told me come. And I kept asking if I'm going to die because I got scared if I was going to die. And he told me, no, you're okay. So he just bandaged my thing, put some, I think, I don't know what cream on it, I don't know what it was. And then that's all, he just left me alone. And then after that, the problem ended. We went out. And then I went on the news again telling my cousin that I'm injured now, I'm scared, please help.
You mean you sent a voice message?
Yeah, voice message, yeah. Sorry. Voice message, I asked for help again and that, and I took a picture of myself. So probably, you know, people can like believe me and understand me, that I'm injured, I need help.
I've seen that photo of you.
Yeah. And then they took me to another prison. After that, after the problem ended, they took us to another prison. And in that prison, they put us in a burnt room.
So just before we move on, how did you survive? So the fight went for 10 days. in 10 days, Alaska, I think. Prison.
I don't know.
You got injured at some point early on?
Fourth, fifth day maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
How did you survive? Did you just stay low? Did you stay in that one space?
Stay in that one space, stay in that room. And once a guy gave us a bottle of water, we got to drink from it slowly, slowly. And then later on, I forgot how we found some, how do you call it? Red bread, yani, it's bad bread. We got to eat from it. That's what I remember.
So you had a bit of, tiny bit of bread,
tiny bit of
one
bread,
bottle of water.
And that's all.
Between you and your friend.
Between me and my friend. That's all we got to eat and drink. Until the day we came out. Then the day we came out, they put us in a burnt room.
In a what room?
Burnt room.
A burnt room.
It's all black. The walls are black. Everything is black. And then water only, they give us 320 milli bottle water, a small one. And only one bread, and with a bit of like molasses, date molasses or jam or something, that's all, like a teaspoon maybe, a little bit for one guy. He stayed like that for like 19 days. And I moved us to another place and they separated the kids again. And then I was with the kids again, Dr. Zaporos came, Saving the Children came, they got us some food, Saving the Children. And then Dr. Zaporos saw my injury for me and they started to give me medicine for my mind and that. Then from there, after a few months of that and stuff were getting better there, food and that, they got me to the prison I'm in now. And now I'm with big guys again. I don't know why.
You're with adults again?
I'm with adults again.
I'm not allowed to ask you what prison you're in, so you don't have to tell me.
Yeah,
but
okay.
You're with adults.
Yeah.
You've been through a lot.
Yeah, I just please ask for help. I'm scared until now they take me back to that place I was in, Shaddadi, or they take me back to somewhere like Haseka or something. I'm scared. I don't want to go there. I want to just go home. I just want to go to school, maybe see my mother, or go to my mother, and go back home. I don't know, please. I'm tired of all this, what happened. Prison's tiring. Every night, I'm scared.
There will be people in Australia who are concerned that because of your time in prison, because you've spent so much time with so many adult men who were Islamic State fighters, that you will have become radicalised in prison. Is that the case, or what do you say to those concerns?
These adults I was with, I never used to sit with them. I never used to get close to them. I used to be scared of them. They never used to like really concern about me too, because I was like the young one in between them. And that's all. Like, I never used to really go mix up with them too. Yani. Just always like try to keep my distance. Sometimes see what an English guy speaking, but mostly just speak about movies and that's all. Never remember them telling me nothing or trying to tell me anything like about ISIS or something. I never really cared about all that. They don't want to hear about it. And that's all I can say.
Do you have feelings towards the Islamic State today?
No, I just want to go back home. I just want to live life. I don't even want to think about what happened to me anymore. It's scary. I told you, I think about it all night. I just want to finish off, go see my family, go live life again. I don't know, continue my studies, because I'm really low in education now. Even if you see my English, it's a bit like, when I read books, I even there's some words I don't understand, you know. Yeah, that's all I can say.
What, if you could have a message for the Australian government, what would you like to say?
That, like, please take me back home. I really want to go back home, live life again, continue my on my studies, see my family. I don't know. I was very shocked. It's been until now, from 2019 to now, no Australian saw me or something. Like, please help me out.
Come. We're the first Australians you've met since
like after
2019,
yeah.
Since ASIO interviewed you.
Yes. And it's very shocking. Like, why? I was getting scared if Australia left me alone, yani, or they didn't want to take me back anymore or something. But I wish for them to take me back. And I don't know. It's my story and what happened to me exactly. I'm scared.
Do you know why you haven't been able to pass messages to your mother, who is in Rochkan?
No, I don't know why. I wish I knew why, because I really want to see my mother and that. I asked everyone, the Kurds, I asked the organization, I asked all. Like, all the people that I, like, see from outside guys, like, not inside the prison, I ask them, I want to see my mother, I want to, like, I don't know. But no one really answers me.
If we get to see your mother, we've asked, if we get to see your mother, is there a message you'd like to pass on to her?
Yeah, please tell her that I love her so much and that sister, I love her so much. And tell my sister that I love her so much. And I really miss him, I really want to see him again. And tell him that I really want to go back to Australia. And I wish to see him over there. And I wish to see my nephew and nieces, all of them, again. And I wish, I don't know. Promise, I don't know what to say. I just want to hug her. I want to hug my mum. I want to hug my sister. I just want to sit down with them. I want to be with my family back in Australia. I go on holidays like we used to go back when I was like 12 years old. When I was young.
You never wanted to be here in the first place?
Never. I never wanted to be here.
It sounds like you've been through hell.
Yeah.
How do you cope?
What's cope? I don't know what cope is.
How do you deal with it?
Cry by myself sometimes inside the shower. Before I sleep, sometimes thinking about my mother. Like, imagine that I'm seeing her. Imagine that I'm hugging her. Try to think about mother before I sleep, think about that I'm free before I sleep so I can have a sweet dream. Or sometimes I just get the horror dreams of what happened to me in Shedad and the torture. And it gets me scared a lot, because I'm scared if they take me back there or if they pull me back there. I'm scared if I'm going to take longer in prison, because I really want to go out. I got tired. I promise you, I have white hair on my head, and I'm just 20 years old. I have more than 20 white hairs on my head from how much I thought, from how much I cried. I don't know, I used to ask from telling the children help, they tell me I have patience. Doctors Without Borders, ask them for help, they told me, like, don't lose hope, or, I forgot. Please, now you're Australian, now you came to see me, please help me, and please, if you can speak to the Australians, take me back, or the government, take me back. I really want to go back home, I had enough of all this.
I think one of the questions that will come up in Australia with your story is, have you been radicalised? Are you a so-called cub of the caliphate? The Kurds told us before we met you that you are a cub of the caliphate.
No, it's a lie. It's a lie. I've never been nothing got to do with caliphate or nothing. And I don't want to be nothing got to do with that aslan. Like, I don't want to, how do you say it? Do nothing. I have nothing to do with them, and I don't really care about what's going on like outside about them. I just want to go back home, live life. I have nothing to do with the caliphate, or I don't know what it's called, ISIS. I just want to be a normal guy, a normal person like everyone else, how they're living their happy lives. I just want to go back and live a happy life too. That's all I want.
Do you know what the Islamic State did? And do you agree with what they did or disagree with what they did?
I don't even know what they did to know or just disagree. But if they did bad, of course disagree. That's all I can say. I don't know, I heard bad stuff stories about them too. So if they've done bad stuff to people, of course they disagree.
What about your brothers were part of the Islamic State, yes?
Yeah.
Khalid and Muhammad?
I heard that, yes.
What about what they said to you about their ideology, their beliefs?
They used to always be working, not really paying attention to me too. When they come visit my mother's and like my mother and father's house where I'm living with them, they just come to see my mother and father. They didn't really come to see me much. I don't know. And first Khalid got killed straight away. He didn't stay long. So I heard he died. And then Muhammad stayed until a while, until Hejin, and then he got killed. Literally, we see him like once a week, maybe even a bit more, maybe sometimes. So,
did your mum and dad support the Islamic State?
Well, I'm not sure about that. Maybe. I don't know. I actually don't know. But what I think is because of my brothers. I always say my mind is because of my brothers, not because of my mother and father. Because what I saw my mother and father before in Australia, I just wanted to sell the house and buy a new house and live life again, but just a smaller house. You know, because my brother's gone, everyone was gone. It was just me, my mother, and my father again living in a house. But then I think about like what happened to me when I was like 12 years old and that, what I remember from it. I always think it's because of my brothers, because of Khalid, because of Muhammad, it's because of them. That's why my mother, father, me, that's why I think that they got us here. They got us into all this trouble and that.
Your family in Australia will be thrilled to hear about you and to see you looking well.
Thank you.
Kamal Debussy, wanted you to know that they love you and they're thinking of you.
Thank you. Tell him I love him too. And tell him I love him more. And I just want to go back to Australia. So they are, this is happening to me. I hate everyone with me. I just want to go back and live with normal people again. I want to see my mother. I think every day, like, you're living a normal life. Everyone outside is living a normal life. Just me, I'm through all this shit. Every day, since, I don't know, like 10 years now.
You were just a child.
I don't know, every time people come and ask me, you have something to do with ISIS, I tell them no. He comes and interrogates me, like, I got interrogated more than 7 times, I don't know why. Every time, no, you have something to do with ISIS, I tell them no, I have nothing to do with ISIS. They always put me under pressure. They put me in an isolated room for, like, I don't know how long. I told them I have nothing to do with ISIS. I don't know, people just don't understand me. Because I don't have nothing to do with ISIS. I didn't care about ISIS. I didn't care about nothing about that. I just want to go live my life. I lost 10 years of my life doing nothing. Just, sometimes I think I'm so dumb. Even my English, I can't even read books that good. I just want to go back, live back life in Australia. Tell my family back in Australia that I love them all. And please don't forgive me. And please don't forget me here. I'm scared I'm gonna die here. So many people died in prison. I'm scared I'm gonna die. I'm scared about this TB thing that I have in me. And then there's no medicine. They're not giving me no medicine. I don't know if I'm sick. I don't know. I'm scared if the problem happens again. I wanna get back to Australia. I don't wanna die. I don't wanna get injured again. I didn't get injured in ISIS. I got injured in freaking prison. And it says I came out so I can get back to Australia and I got injured in freaking prison. I don't know, I just hate my life now. I want to go back to a normal life. I want to go back to a life that I love. I don't know why 5 years Australia still didn't take me back. I said they came and saw me in 2019 to come see what's on with me, and until now they didn't take me back. Why? I don't know how to understand. People say, think I have something to do with ISIS. I have nothing to do with ISIS. I say 1,000 times, I say until now, I don't care about ISIS. I promise you, I can't wait a day anymore. Every day before I sleep, I go in the shower, I cry, think about my mother. I go down, lay down, I can't sleep until like 1:30, 2 o'clock. Just before I came to you, I was sleeping because I couldn't sleep at night time yesterday. I read books, I get bored, I'm just bored. There's 4 wars, big guys all around me, everyone's, I feel like they're grandpas all around me. I don't know what to say to him. I don't know what to speak to him. Just another kid with me, only my age. He's 20-year-old too. I'd probably speak to him a bit about movies and that. Probably if someone else wanted to listen, he comes sit down with us. That's all. If he wants to listen about what we're speaking, what movie that I remember, or that I make up from my mind. I started to make movies up from my mind to let the time go. I don't know, eating the same food for the past, I don't know how much he is. Soup and beans, and that's all I'm eating. I don't know, please help me. Please, I want to see my mother, please.
You just want to be heard.
I want to be heard. What do you mean by heard?
You're isolated here. You're kind of cut off from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You want somebody to hear your voice that you don't want to be here.
Yes, I just want to go back home. I want to see my mother. On the way when I was coming, I thought I was going to see my mother. I come here and...
You thought when you were coming here today,
I thought I was
you didn't
say,
know you were meeting me. No, you thought you were meeting your mother.
I thought I was meeting my mother. They didn't tell me who I'm meeting. They never told me. They just told me, get ready, go out.
If you were brought back to Australia, would you accept conditions to watch over you to make sure... I mean, I hear you when you say you had nothing to do with the Islamic State, but the Australian public might not be convinced of that. Would you accept conditions to monitor you, perhaps be imprisoned in Australia? Would you prefer to be imprisoned in Australia than here?
Of course, it's going to be 1,000 times better. But of course, Australia is not going to like punish me or leave me in prison like these guys right now are doing to me. And then I know Australia is not going to put me in prison because I have nothing to do with ISIS. They understand me. You know, my country, I was born there. Guys, like, the same mind as me, people the same mind as me. Like, I don't know, I don't think Australia put me in prison, but as conditions, just take me back, please. Any conditions, just take me back. I don't know, just anything, just please take me back. Here, because the prison is really, really bad, and I told you about it just now.
Do you think the Australian government has a duty of care to you, an Australian citizen, to look after you and bring you back to Australia?
Of course, because it's my country. I'm Australian. I was born in Australia. I studied in Australia. It's my only home, Australia. Of course I do think that, because I'm Australian.
Why do you think you've been left here?
I don't know why. That's the question I wish to ask you. I don't know why. I actually don't know why I'm here. I'm 5 years now. I don't know why. I don't know because they claim that I'm dead outside. I don't know even why.
What news do you get of the outside world?
Nothing. Nothing. Just what you told me probably now. And like they told me international court. Like the curse told me in interrogation. They said that you're going to go to international court. I asked him why.
Here in Rajada or somewhere
I don't
else?
Know. I don't know. He didn't tell me. He just told me that. And I asked him why. Are they going to take me back to Australia and that? He told me he doesn't know.
Have you ever talked to American authorities?
No. No. Just saving the children, Doctors at Borders. Once ASIO in 2019. Red Cross, when they got me the letter, didn't even get to speak too much because it wasn't allowed. And
that was a written letter?
Yeah, Red Cross gave me
a Do you still have the one from your mother?
No, they took her a long, long time ago from me. I sent the letter back to my mother. I told her if she can give me pictures of the them and my nephew and nieces. Nothing came back. I drew on a flower for her. I don't know if he got to her.
Do you get visits now from NGOs?
What's NGOs?
Do you get visits now from organisations like Save the Children, the United Nations?
Since they took me out from the prison, the new place where I was in, those new buildings and that I was in, when I was with the kids, from when they took me out from there to this prison that I'm in, never. I never seen no organisation or nothing.
So since the attack?
Yeah, since the problem.
Since the problem that you call it, since the problem, you haven't had any visits from anyone except the Kurdish authorities?
The Kurdish and Doctors Without Borders, they saw my injury.
After the attack?
After the attack. And Saving the Children, they got us food stuff. Potato and egg and soup on it and bread.
But this was immediately after the attack?
Not immediately, after a bit.
After a bit?
After like a month or more maybe.
Okay. Do you have a lasting injury? Do you still have a problem with your head or your arm?
I get headaches. My arm, not. My headaches, I get headaches every now and then. Probably when I think too much, I get headaches a lot.
Do you still have hope?
It's not that I lost hope, it's just that I was scared. I was scared that I was going to die. I was scared that I was never going to see my mother again. I was going to stay in prison my whole life. That's all I was scared of. I used to think they're going to leave me in prison. They forgot that I'm here. What's happening outside? I don't know. You get what I mean? That's all.
You're cut off from the world.
Huh?
You're cut off from the world. Cut isolated.
Off. Yeah. I don't know what to say. It's like it hurts. It hurts my heart. It hurts even my head from how much I think about it.
Yeah. So as I explained at the start, we're from the Australian broadcaster called SBS. We're from a news program called Dateline. And we just want to ask, do you give permission to talk to us? And are you doing so on your own volition? Like, have you been pressured into doing this interview?
No. I feel it's a good, because I know you're going to help me, right? You're going
to
help me.
So you wanted to talk to us?
I wish to talk to you, but I didn't know I was coming here until I came.
But now that you are being interviewed by SBS Australia, are you happy to be interviewed? Like, do you give your permission to be interviewed in this fashion?
Yes, of course.
Thank
Why
you,
not?
Yusuf. Yep.
You're welcome. But I just wish for you to help me out, please. Mm. Just make everyone understand that I have nothing to do with ISIS. I just want to go back home, please. Please. I don't know how to tell you. I wish I can tell you exactly.
You've told us.
Please.
Yeah.
Yusuf Sahab was talking to SBS Dateline's Colin Cozier, and you can watch the whole story on Dateline at SBS On Demand.